Good morning, good morning. I must say I don't suddenly feel so old as little Theus, as he went by me there, he put his hand out to shake my hand. So thank you, Theus. That was a wonderful blessing. I felt a little bit younger instantly. Nevertheless, I want to just follow up before we start, continue our study in 2 Timothy. You can start opening your Bibles up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And while you're doing that, just briefly follow up to what Chris mentioned about the AGM. So just so that there's no misunderstanding, this is not a meeting just for members. Yes, it's important that members do come, but if you have been attending, and many as I look around have been attending very regular, as you could say, adherence to this church, then absolutely I'd like you to be there. Please attend our AGM, and that'll be in 2 weeks. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the salvation, the captain of our salvation, Lord, and that in you is the only way that we can be good soldiers. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness. We thank you that you are almighty, that you are our Redeemer. Lord, you are the one that leads and guides us. Lord, we thank you for your salvation, Lord, that you are our refuge, you are our strong tower. And yes, we thank you for these ancient words. And yes, Lord, we pray for the leadership in this country, Lord, that some way, somehow, Lord, that the eyes of their understanding would be opened to the truth. And we pray, Lord, for those who are peacefully protesting, and even those that are Christians that are leading this protest, as we understand, Lord, that you would protect them, surround them, Lord, with your protection, with your ministering angels, Lord, protect them and keep them. Lord, yes, we pray that something good would come out of it, that you would intervene for the truth and morality in this land. Lord, again, Lord, we thank you for the children. We pray that you would bless their gathering together. Lord, we pray for churches, Lord, that are standing boldly and courageously in spirit and in truth on the Word of God. Lord, and may we hold fast to sound words, the sound words of God, and never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, salvation in Christ alone. Lord, I thank you for each one that is gathered here this morning. Lord, we pray for those that couldn't make it, whatever the situation, whether it's health. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would know that you are their comfort, that you are their healer, that they can stand fast in you no matter what the opposition, Lord. So I thank you for the blessing of the singing. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to bless the speaking of your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Last week, as we considered the first two verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and this is just a very, very brief review, we were reminded of the vital importance, as it says in verse 1, of being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And as you remember, verse 2 says, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul encourages his beloved son in Christ. Actually, if we look back, he says his dearly beloved son in Christ, to hold fast to the standard of sound words, the sound words of God, and pass them on to faithful men, commit them and trust them, yes, to faithful men. Why? Why is that? So that they will be able to teach others also. Right unto the end, Paul was unashamed of his Lord and Savior. He honored God in Christ, no matter the opposition, true to his holy calling. And even a prison cell wasn't going to stop him from writing this, his last epistle. And he was looking to the future, wasn't he? Because as an apostle, he knew exactly what was coming. Actually, it had already arrived. He was fully aware of the profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Those aren't my words. Those are directly from 1 Timothy 6, verse 20 and 21. He knew what it meant to be confronted almost continually by profane and vain babblings. And has much changed in these days? I don't believe so. And therefore, we who belong in Christ, belong to Christ, must also be strong in the grace that is in Him, in Christ. And as God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, prepares the way, and He will, what must we do? We must, yes, preach it, yes, but also live it. Live it, unashamed and faithful. Committing God's truth, biblical truth, yes, to others, because what we have received is precious and life-changing. Yes, it is a sacred trust, a sacred trust, a sacred trust that we must pass on, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Okay, moving on, let us read verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardship as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Sounds good, doesn't it? But it's not good enough. It's not good enough, is it, what I just said? Because in Christ, we are not just soldiers, maybe a soldier who is weak, compromised, and fearful. No, because we are called to be good soldiers. And there's a huge difference. A good soldier, a righteous soldier, a God-honoring soldier. Yes, and a bold and faithful soldier. A fearless soldier. That's what a good soldier of Jesus Christ must be. Period. Not weaklings constantly looking over our shoulder, looking for a way out, ready to run for cover, hiding behind the latest PHO mandates. In Christ, we are not soldiers who are ready to surrender and make a deal with the devil and those who belong to him. Because a good soldier of Jesus Christ has also a holy calling. And we will never be a deserter. will never accommodate the enemy, will never be ashamed of His, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A good soldier will never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And now please listen to these words, for these are the sound words written by Isaac Watts, the English hymn writer, theologian, and pastor, back in the 1700s. Actually, I think you'll find them even in our hymnal. And there he says, "I am a soldier of the cross, a follower of the precious Lamb. I will not fear to own His cause or blush to speak His glorious name." Do you believe it?
Amen. Amen.
Now, as we have read, a good soldier belonging to Christ must also be willing to endure hardship. That's a tough one, isn't it? Who likes to endure hardship? Didn't we come to Christ because we're going to be prosperous and have everything go our way and tell God what to do? No, you see, that's wrong theology. That's wrong doctrine. We must be willing, as it says, to endure hardship. We must be willing to share in the suffering of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A good soldier of Christ must be faithful and loyal, must never distort or misrepresent God's commands, His holy sovereign word. And a good soldier, if necessary, yes, if necessary, if called to do so, must be willing and ready to suffer for the captain of our salvation. Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 10. Okay, we must be ready because I don't hear too much paper rustling. That's good. Verse 10, "For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings." There we read it. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. So why is that? Because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And we as good soldiers are under His care and command and His provision. We follow Him as He directs us, not as we decide what we think is best. No, we follow Him as He directs us. You know why? It's because He has already gone before us. We know that. He's already prepared the way. He's already gone before us. He's prepared the way. What does God say here in Hebrews 2, verse 10? It says He was made perfect through suffering. Think about that for a moment. Not that He wasn't already perfect, because He was. He was perfect, and He was without sin. And His perfection, His perfect life, was confirmed by His sacrificial death on the cross for you and me. Where Jesus overcame sin, yes, your sin and my sin, He completed the work that had been set before Him. And so it is, so it must be. Jesus is our perfect Savior, the captain of our salvation. You know, shortly we will gather around the Lord's table, and then we're going to remember this. Remember his perfect sacrifice on the cross. To do what? To bring many sons, yes, many sons and daughters to glory. Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua 5. Seems like I'm often drawn to passages in Joshua 5. I think it was well before most of your time as I did a series on Joshua. Again, please let me set it up for you. In Numbers chapters 13 to 15, and if you like, you can read it for homework. And there you'll read about how Moses, a wonderful type of Christ himself, sent men from each tribe of Israel to search out the land of Canaan, their promised land. And when these men returned, they reported how beautiful the land was, flowing with milk and honey. And as most of you know, except there was a problem, wasn't there? The people of the land, the Canaanites, were too strong and too powerful. And yes, there were even giants in the land. They essentially said, you know, forget it. It's not possible. We haven't got a chance. We're not strong enough. You know, if we go up against them, you know, we're just surely going to all die. Full of fear, they cried out, "Let's raise up a new captain who will lead us, yes, right back to Egypt, right back to bondage." And while we're at it, let's just take the time and stone Moses and Aaron. Let's stone them. That was the majority report, as you know, wasn't it? But wait. There were two men, two of 12, who were not ashamed to be good soldiers of God. And they alone, Joshua and Caleb, stood in opposition to the weak-kneed majority. They held fast to the promise of life, yes, in Christ Jesus. And we all know what happened, don't we? God gave them the victory. Yes, and what a victory it was. What a victory it was. And so now we come to Joshua chapter 5. God's people have entered the promised land. And now I'm going to take a little bit of liberty, you know, use my imagination a little bit. And Joshua, their new leader, is walking alone. And somehow, as I read these verses in Joshua 5, you know, I somehow imagine that I can see him. Maybe he's walking alone at night. Maybe. I'm saying maybe. And maybe he's wondering, contemplating. Maybe he's even praying, "God, how will your people possibly bring down and breach those huge and mighty walls of Jericho?" And suddenly he sees a man. Chapter 5, verse 13. "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and beheld, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, 'Art thou for us or for our adversaries?'" He sees a man over against him with his sword drawn. So who was this man? Let's read verse 14. And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? The captain of the host of the Lord. Many believe, and I believe it's true, I believe it also, that this was actually Jesus. This was the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus. And in reverent fear, Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And as a good soldier, he asks this important question, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Do you realize that is our position? As good soldiers, we're also servants of our Lord and Savior. What saith my Lord unto his servant? You see, Joshua had a cause, didn't he? And he knew what his holy calling was. He was a man who served God. A good soldier who followed orders. And I'm not talking about strange, ungodly mandates and restrictions. Joshua could never obey those because he was a good and loyal soldier who honored God, obedient and faithful to the end. And was his faith justified? Yes, of course it was. Chapter 6, verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with their trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell flat down, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Amen. Yes, it was victory. And what a victory it was. Why? Because Joshua was a good soldier who belonged to Christ, the captain of the host of the Lord, the captain of his salvation. And this, my brothers and sisters, is what it means to be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. And so have we, you and I, been good soldiers, servants of our Lord, who belong to Christ, obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit for His glory and His purpose on earth, holding fast to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. I hope and pray we are, and that we always will be. You know why? Because it's divinely important that we be good soldiers of Christ. Because you see, that is our holy calling. We read it in verse 9 of chapter 1, 2 Timothy. And have no doubt the wicked servants of Satan, yes, they are mobilizing, always have, haven't they? Do they smell victory? Consider this. Last week, some of you will remember that I mentioned the Satanic Temple. Do you remember that? Some of you remember that I mentioned that. Apparently one of the fastest growing religious organizations in America. And I don't think that Canada is any different. So this is what happened very recently on live television. The founder of the Satanic Temple in Detroit took an abortion pill right on live TV, proudly stating that this will be her third abortion. Think about it. Think about it. She killed her baby on live TV. Killed her baby on live TV. Third time, she says. And it wouldn't surprise me if right after that she had an appointment to go hug a tree. So, do you think it's time for us to be good soldiers of Christ? Maybe it's overtime. And I say there's no need to be afraid, because a good soldier in Christ, it comes with a guarantee. A guarantee that is absolutely safe and effective, unlike you know what. And Romans 8 verse 37 informs us what that guarantee is. What we can expect. What we in Christ can absolutely anticipate. It says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him," yes, through Jesus, "that loved us." You see, it's not just conquerors, is it? But more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Because there is nothing this old world can do to us. Not even their passport can separate us from the love of God. But you see, I don't want to make light of it either. Because many of us are facing difficulties in these times. I realize that and I understand it. This satanic globalist reset has been very hard on many of us. Loss of income, loss of jobs, sickness, despair and discouragement. Even suicide, as it was pointed out to me recently, the numbers are way up, way up. And this great COVID deception has also been very hard on relationships. We know that. Families have been divided, some no longer even speaking to each other. And the enemy of our soul, the prince of this world, yeah, do you think he loves it? Yeah, he just loves it. He says, yeah, just go take another abortion pill. And he loves it when we are feeling hopeless and afraid. Afraid of what the future holds. Yes, a fear of the future. But you see, let's not give in to that fear. For we who are truly in Christ belong to His kingdom. And therefore, we must be strong in His grace. Good and faithful soldiers, holding fast to the promise of life, which is in who? In Christ Jesus. Right now, there are many evil soldiers of Satan out there. Those who belong to the synagogue of Satan. But you see, they don't hold a candlestick to us, those who are good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Good soldiers of Jesus Christ, obedient to the captain of the host of the Lord, the captain of our salvation. And so as we move on to the next verse, that's verse 4, 2 Timothy 2, it tells us what we must do to maintain that good soldier status. It tells us exactly what we must do. Verse 4. Let's go back to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now, let's not misunderstand this. This doesn't mean we ignore our God-given responsibilities. For a good soldier is also a good steward, honoring God in everything that he does. Yes, to be a good soldier of Christ means we honor him in everything, in our jobs, in our relationships, in our businesses. A good soldier works as unto the Lord, no matter what it is, no matter which place he's put us in. Do you understand that? We work as unto the Lord. And what about our families, our church, even this assembly of brothers and sisters in the Lord? Yes, in all these things, we must soldier on as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, who don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. Entangled here is the key word. Because as we work as unto the Lord, led by the Holy Spirit, earnestly contending for the faith, yes, we will be faced with the devil's relentless desire to entangle us. But we will not fear him, and we will not bow our knee to him. Because we will not compromise the truth, the Word of God. We will not accommodate worldly influence. For we must not touch the unclean thing and become entangled by it. And as a church, will we become like so many out there? Will we become a Romans 13 verse 1 church? Thank you. Entangled with an out of context interpretation that ignores the fullness of God's word. Oh, I forgot. They took the filthy lucre, didn't they? As good soldiers, may our eye always be single. Yes, that's in Matthew 6, verse 22. You'll only find it in the King James Version. May our eye always be single, always focused on our Lord and Savior as He leads the way. As He leads the way. Useful for the cause of Christ, set apart to the gospel truth. Proclaiming salvation in Christ alone. Why? Well, we read it, so that we may please Him who hath chosen us to be a soldier, a good soldier. Oh, but I'm too old, you might say. Well, then let's consider Caleb again. You know, he who, along with Joshua, were the only two who said, yes, we can, with God's help, defeat those Canaanites and even those sons of Anak, the giants. And we can go to Joshua chapter 14. Caleb, now an old man, 85 years old. Young fellow. Yeah, I feel like a young fellow when I read that. Yeah, 85 years old. And he says to Joshua, he says to him, give me that mountain, you know, where the giants live, as my inheritance. Because they don't scare me. He says in Joshua 14:12b, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And indeed, Caleb, a good soldier, even an old good soldier, was given the victory, wasn't he? He did defeat and he did drive them out. Joshua 14, verse 14 says, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You see, Caleb didn't just follow. He just didn't show up on Sunday. No, he wholly followed the Lord God. He wholly followed. Faithful and obedient. Caleb wasn't just a soldier. He was a good soldier. A righteous soldier. And we know why, don't we? That he may please him, God, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So, as we gather around the Lord's table, let me ask, are we, are you, am I, a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Maybe you're thinking, yes, yes, I would like to be a good soldier like that. I would like to have a purpose, a divine purpose for my life. And I would like to stop being ashamed and fearful. Maybe you're thinking, yes, I really would like to receive God's grace and his mercy and his peace. Yes, I would like to be delivered and saved from my shame and my guilt and my regret, from my sin. Then let this be the day of salvation for you. And my prayer is that you will start the process by humbling yourself and praying. Praying. Pray that the Holy Spirit would convince you, yes, persuade you of your need to surrender your life to him. What does that mean? That means you'll be reconciled to God in Christ, restored and revived to newness of life. Does that sound good to you? Then humble yourself. Pray. It's called repentance. Receive salvation. Receive his grace, mercy, and peace. Cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross, satisfying the justice of God, so that you and I might live. Never again to be fearful, entangled by the enemy of our soul, but forevermore to be a good soldier, strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, I'm speaking of the promise of life forever. And so, as we now transition to the Lord's Supper, yes, please remember how precious this time really is. The captain of our salvation who died for you and me. It truly is a precious time for those who have truly received salvation. What am I getting at? What do I mean? I mean, if you have truly have a personal and abiding faith in Christ, and know him as your Lord and Savior, then absolutely you're welcome to join in with us, to take part with us. And it is a wonderful thing to gather together around the Lord's Supper to remember, to gather together in unity as those who belong to Christ. However, and I must say this to be truthful to the Word of God, if you cannot truthfully say, yes, I have received salvation. I belong to Christ, saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Then I encourage you to allow the elements to simply pass by. But that doesn't mean you need to leave, because I encourage you to stay, to still stay. This is important, for the Word of God instructs us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So, the Word of God says, let a man, let a woman examine themselves. Brothers, please come forward.